Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the author of The Weed Agency. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for you today to close out the week as usual. Jake Tapper, of course, is host of The Lead. He was reporting on the comments the president made from Martha's Vineyard on Thursday, but then had some choice comments in reply. Here's the president and then Jake Tapper.
There is never an excuse for violence against police or for those who would use this tragedy as a cover for vandalism or looting. There's also no excuse for police to use excessive force against peaceful protests or to throw protesters in jail for lawfully exercising their First Amendment rights. And here in the United States of America, police should not be bullying or arresting journalists who are just trying to do their jobs.
Of course not. Going after journalists for exercising their First Amendment rights, that's a job for the Justice Department. President Obama, of course.
Jim, was that you honking your horn behind him in agreement there?
You just wish that Jake Tapper had been there in the room to say that during the pregnant pause by the president. Obviously, like during that pause, President Obama managed to get back to the golf course because he apparently did it in record time yesterday. You know, it was a great point. I discussed something, an aspect of this on Greta last night. I said, boy, James Rosen could not be reached for comment as the DOJ was contemplating naming him an unindicted co-conspirator for leaking classified information and things like that, setting a new precedent for the possibility of prosecuting a reporter for doing, you know, for reporting the information. You can think of that. You can think about all the different times the administration has failed to live up to its, you know, most transparent administration in history. On the one hand, this kind of leads into our second martini. The president clearly is on autopilot. There was a perfectly fine statement, but the fact that he couldn't grasp any irony in this or not see any contradiction between what he's been saying and what his administration has been doing, that kind of just indicates where we are at this point in the presidency. I think it's kind of a natural segue to our second martini. Just a kudos to Jake Tapper for calling it out and pointing it out. I'd also point out that in the moment, as he said, government should not interfere with reporters doing their jobs and exercising the key public role of informing the public. And then no questions, please. The president's on vacation.
All right. As you mentioned, we head into the second martini now. And the question that comes up again and again, especially in the last few weeks and months, is the president really engaged on this stuff? Some people think that's just a cover for the fact that he's behind the scenes working on big power grabs, whether it's immigration or other issues. But some just see him as disinterested, more interested in fundraising, hanging out with celebrities, and golfing. And the topic came up on the Hugh Hewitt Show. He had Joe Scarborough as his guest. And Joe was talking about how even those on the left now are getting very upset with the fact that the president doesn't seem to be taking major world events and national events seriously, talking about how Dana Milbank, the left-wing columnist for The Washington Post, even ripping the president for going to Martha's Vineyard when you've got tanks rolling in middle America and the Middle East melts down. He says a lot of friends on the left have told him this president has checked out. And he goes on to say, I hear it time and again from his close political allies. This man wants to be an ex-president. He doesn't want to be there anymore. So, Jim, there's ways to achieve that.
Yeah, we tried, Mr. President. We really, really tried. This is a bad martini in the sense that, one, this is a confirmation of a lot of our suspicions and things we've been saying for a while. We've been talking about it. We see it in the president's tone, his body language, his schedule. But it's kind of frightening if the people close to the president are saying the same things. And he said, you know, people work inside the White House based on my friends who are senior Democratic senators. I mean, like, there's kind of this broad bipartisan recognition that, you know, this president has, as you said, he's checked out. He doesn't want to be there anymore. He wants to be an ex-president. Once you're elected, you're in there. And yes, we've had Woodrow Wilson kind of physically unable up to the job and Mrs. Wilson effectively running the country for a few years back there. But we've really never had a president just kind of decide, nah, I'm out, you know, get senioritis like this. And let's emphasize, we're 5.5 years in. He's got more than 2 years left in this presidency. And as we can tell, the world is not getting safer, more stable. And the problem, you know, it's not like he can coast on his fantastic record for the next 2 years. Elsewhere in that conversation between Scarborough and Hewitt, they talk about the We talked about in one of the martinis earlier this week that the possibility of another 9/11 style attack appears to be increasing because of ISIS and terrorists and Islamist militants and all these groups having the sanctuary that they now have in ISIS-controlled territory. So in that circumstance, the idea of having a president who's just kind of checked out and on the golf course and on vacation in 2 weeks, and if he has to, he'll come out and read a prepared statement every now and then. Like, you told us you had to be in this. We needed you in this job, Mr. President. You told us you were ready for this. You told, you know, clearly he wasn't. There was no bones about this. And you don't get to quit on the job without officially resigning. And it's kind of terrifying. You kind of want somebody around the president to kind of grab him by the shoulders and shake him and say, wake up, man. If you can't do the job, get out of the way for somebody who can. And, you know, call Mitt Romney and ask him how he'd handle these things. You know, like, I mean, sometimes it almost seems absurd. But there are other points in this presidency where, you know, people have described the president as really being down in the dumps. In the last couple of weeks, we heard, you know, the bear is loose. And it seemed like an effort to spin the president's disinterest in the traditional role of the job and his eagerness to just hang out with the folks as doing some sort of key part of being president, you know, just listening to people as if he's some sort of national Sally Jesse Raphael or something like that, going out and, you know, listening to the American people like he's our national therapist or something. Now, he's got plenty of constitutionally, you know, limited duties out there, a lot of problems that need tackling. And it's just kind of frightening to see that there's this now, if there's a national recognition the president has checked out, it certainly seems like there's an international recognition that the president has checked out. And because of the flaws of this one man, America's dormant for the next 2.5 years in a very dangerous world. So, yeah, have a nice weekend, folks.
Jim, you think he just gets restless? You know, he did a couple years of whatever professor work he did. Then he ran for state senate. Then he tried to run for the House and lost. Then he ran for the Senate. And as soon as he got to Washington, he pretty much started running for president. So 8 years on the same job is kind of unique for him. There's just nothing else he can run for, really.
And as Valerie Jarrett said, he never encountered a job that really presented a challenge to him. Well, I guess now we have. He has. But also, like, they talk about how he gets bored very quickly. And I think it was Ace of Spades who said, that's not necessarily the mark of someone who's smart. The smartest people are constantly fascinated by the world, right? And they constantly are learning new things, exploring new things, reading about new, you know, they're constantly, you know, kind of exercising that mind and always looking at new things. The really smart people in the world don't bore easily or kind of have this, you know, inability to focus on something. But you know who gets bored very easily, Greg?
Who's that?
Narcissists. Because the only thing they're really interested in is themselves. And if it doesn't involve themselves and feed their egos, it kind of loses interest and all of a sudden we're back on the golf tour. And, you know, if the president wants to join the PGA Tour, terrific. You know, but in the meantime, we need a president. And the guy's made very clear he just doesn't seem to want to do most of the job.
If you thought that was depressing, wait till the third martini. This is our crazy martini to close out the week from Noah Rothman over at Hot Air. Straight from the Department of Inconsistencies, the latest Reason/Roop poll is sure to leave you scratching your head. 55% of Americans tell Reason Roop they have a favorable opinion of capitalism. Meanwhile, 36% of those surveyed, including 33% of independents and 26% of self-described Tea Party supporters, have a favorable opinion of socialism. Now, for Democrats, it's 50% or better. But, Jim, either you don't know what the Tea Party is or socialism is, or you've got a real big conflict in your mind if you like the Tea Party and socialism.
You look at that and you're gasping and you're kind of scratching your head. Like, how possibly could that be? One of the folks I was with the last night said, look, well, maybe this kind of describes, maybe this is kind of your populist conservative types. You know, this idea of maybe the Mike Huckabee folks who aren't opposed to big government as long as it's being used towards the right goals in their mind, compassionate conservatism types. But that, you know, that never struck me as really what the Tea Party was about. In fact, the Tea Party was kind of a reaction to that. It was, you know, it was anti, you know, George W. It was all the repressed conservative instincts that didn't get an expression during the George W. Bush years. The simplest explanation that I think Noah Rothman points to is that the big takeaway from this poll is that people really no longer know what words mean. And I look at that and think, when people refer to socialism, Greg, of those 26% of self-described Tea Party supporters, do you think like they meant social media?
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, or if you're a social person, well, I'm not a hermit. You know, I like going to parties and interacting with you. So thus, I'm a socialist. I'm a very socialist kind of person. unnerving. You know, like, I think that all of these people can vote, Greg, and what's more, they think they're on our side, when in fact they may very well be so unaware of anything that it's hard to believe they could be any, you know, that much of a use to any political movement. They're just kind of careening through life and hopefully, you know, ooh, look, a butterfly, you know, distracted.
Which is better, rank stupidity or actually embracing certain tenets of socialism?
You support socialism, yes. What is it? And just see what they say. I remember the anecdote of the people going door to door asking people to sign up for Obamacare. And the respondent said, that has something to do with caring for people, right? And this is like, you know, a year ago. So the entire debate about Obamacare had completely missed this person. Vague notion it might have had something to do with health or something like that. If these people never vote, then you know what? Revel in your ignorance. I hear it's bliss. You're probably less stressed and you know, you worry about things less than the rest of us. So, you know, that's fine. But that I don't think that you shouldn't get a say in how things get done around here because you don't know squat about squat. And I could have used other words there. And yet, you know, these people can vote. So it counts as much as yours and mine. And so that's our cheery, crazy martini to head into the weekend, people. Enjoy the hemlock, everybody.
Jim, have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We'll talk to you Monday on the next 3 Martini Lunch. Have a great weekend, everyone.